Sports Zodians. How's everybody doing out there tonight? I am Mike Aglialoro. I am your host for this is Sports Zone. We're recording with you live like we do each and every week here via the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Radio Network. Of course, we are rebroadcast, redistributed through all our various podcasting outlets. So we thank you for joining us, no matter how you join us, whether it's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Bullhorn. Rate, like, share, subscribe, do all the things. And we got a good show for you tonight, folks. We will be joined by Dave Hastings in a matter of moments here. We have a lot to talk about tonight. The Super Bowl is in the books. Kansas City Chiefs wind up winning in overtime. I'm not going to call it a classic because that's what everybody calls it, the overtime classic. No, it was a decent game. It was a decent game. Was more on the defensive side of things, and the offense is kind of petering out for a good majority of the game, if we're being honest here. But yes, they won the overtime game over the San Francisco 49ers, 25-22 final score. And the Niners did wind up leading the game for most of it. And then it got pushed to overtime, and Mahomes winds up throwing the game-winning touchdown to McCole Hardman, I believe is how you pronounce that. But with that, we will bring him in tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Hastings is with us tonight. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike. How about yourself?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. So it's perfect that you came on right now because I didn't get a chance to talk about anything Super Bowl-wise, and it was perfect set up so we can go right into that. The Kansas City Chiefs wind up pulling it out 25-22 over the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll throw it right to you there because that's basically all I got to say. So right there for you, man. What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, man. Overall, it ended up being a really entertaining game. I mean, the first half was pretty slow and boring, but second half was good. I mean, but you look at it and Mahomes gets his third Super Bowl win in 6 years, gets his third Super Bowl MVP in 6 years, has joined elite company across the board when it comes down to what he's done with his career. But, you know, defensively, the Chiefs showed, Chris Jones specifically showed up in the biggest plays. I think there's at least two plays that if he doesn't get through the offensive line and get pressure on Purdy, both plays could be end up being touchdowns or huge gains. And I think when you look at how the overtime went, you know, and San Francisco decided to take the ball. I know some people are like, oh, well, with the new rules. But, like, if he's, like, I think what you got to also think about is the fact that his defense just literally spent, like, 12 plays on the field defending a two-minute offense that was hurrying up to the line of scrimmage, so you weren't able to get a lot of substitutes in. Yeah, I think, you know, I understand why you want to get the ball. You want to kick first because you know you're going to get the ball, and it lets you know what you got to do and how you got to use your offense. And I get why people say they should have chose to kick instead of receive, but he made the call based off of where his team was at and what they were feeling. And overall, I don't think he made a horrible decision. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but I know that's a pretty big one. So,
Can I throw this in real quick? Because I'm glad you brought this up. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I probably would have kept it myself because you kind of have to assume Mahomes is going to score anyway. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is kind of what he does here. So, if him scoring a touchdown isn't going to be what ends the game, you have a chance to get it back. why not do it to him and try to put the pressure on him?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think people's big point is like, well, you know, you would know if you needed a field goal or a touchdown, you'd know whether you should go for it on fourth down or if you shouldn't. Like, so like I get where people are coming from with that thought process, but at the same time, it is just one of those, you know, just one of those things where I don't think he made the wrong decision. It's just easy to say it was because they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, if they won, nobody would have had a problem with it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, but overall, I thought it turned into a really good game. San Francisco, to me, really killed themselves when they went through their first two possessions in the second half of the third quarter. They didn't run the ball one time. And after what you saw happen to Baltimore, after you've seen how their defense got gassed by the run pretty consistently throughout the season, I believe they were 23rd in the league against the run. It might have even been worse than that. They were definitely in the bottom third of the league. That's the bare minimum, I'll say that much. But, like, run the damn ball. Your best player is a running back. Like, that made no sense to me, and it gave Kansas City a chance to climb back into the game, and here you are now losing the way they lost. I mean, the guy getting the extra point blocked, I mean, after hitting a huge 55-yard field goal, like, that killed them. So, it's a 60-minute game, and there are things that happen throughout the 60 minutes that it's understandable why they lost. I mean, Kansas City made less mistakes. I mean, there was multiple turnovers by both teams, but just some of the decision-making processes on the field and by the coaching staff really made the difference.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'll throw in, like, I think I had said this before you came on. For the most part, like, it was a game where, you know, the defenses were in full swing and you saw the offenses sputter, and you brought up that they didn't really run the ball too much there. I think McCaffrey had 22 carries. Kansas City as a team had 30. San Francisco only had 9 more besides McCaffrey. So I get you there. I don't know. This was just one of those games to me. I knew Kansas City was going to show up in the end. Like, San Francisco did nothing to me to really kind of slam the door on them and give it hope. I mean, this was a one-possession game for the majority of it. You know, Kansas City doesn't even get on the board until right before the end of the first half anyway. So, I don't know. Kansas City, to me, was never that far out of it. And San Francisco, like you said, they had the opportunities, but they were never really able to pull away.
No, they weren't. And, I mean, I think Brock Purdy deserves credit for playing the way he played. But I also think that overall, I mean, you can't look at these two teams and say that, you know, the quarterback didn't make the biggest difference when it was all said and done. The quarterback and the defense. I think Dre Greenlaw going down, that was a big blow that not a lot of people are talking about when it comes down to San Francisco. Him getting hurt, I think, made a huge difference in that game as it wore on.
Yeah. No, absolutely on that one. A freak injury, too. He's running on the field, and I think I saw it was an Achilles tear. I don't know if you can confirm that.
I didn't hear that, but I wouldn't be surprised the way he went down and the pain he looked like he was in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, all that just from trying to run onto the field. He was just so excited. I mean, that just sucks, man.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't even look like he was overexerting himself getting on the field. Just freak thing. So, yeah, that does not help anything for San Francisco in that game. So, yeah.
No, other than that, I think that injury had a huge impact on how everything ended.
Mm-hmm. No. And Patrick Mahomes, as you said, third Super Bowl MVP. Not really a question here. Because as you said, and we talked about it numerous times, it was going to be, to me, like, when you look at the teams, it is about who the better quarterback is. And obviously, Mahomes is in rarefied air now. Not too many quarterbacks get two, let alone three now, in the first 5 years. So.
Yeah, I mean, three out of the first 5 years as a starter, and three out of the 6 years he's been in the league. Like, it's just, yeah, you just sit there and you're like, okay, like, well, how the hell did he get drafted at 10? But Andy Reid knew, man. He traded up for him. He got him, even though he had, what's his name on, Alex Smith on his team, who got him to an AFC championship game. Like that's, it's just crazy to think about the fact that dude just comes through and you're like, what the fuck, man?
Mm-hmm. And it's even crazier when you throw in the Chicago Bears traded up for the number 2 pick and got Mitch Trubisky. They took Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And that's why, like they say, right? Like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you should tank. And yeah, don't get me wrong. Based off of what talent you have on your team. But I genuinely think, when you look at it, man, it really doesn't matter where you draft it. You just got to draft the right guy.
It really does. Right. Yeah. And I guess we'll throw this in real quick. Like we said, I mean, Kansas City was never really that far out of it. And, you know, at one point in the game, you see one of the things that we had talked about over the last few weeks that kind of, I know we had said it last week, that the sideline flare-ups and everything really was a bad look. And then Travis Kelce has the moment with Andy Reid there. And it's great that it worked out for him, because I feel like that's an entirely different conversation if they don't win that game.
Yeah, I would agree there.
Mm-hmm. Because at least now you could say, oh, okay, it doesn't mean anything. Wound up pulling it out in the end. That was one of those moments where I see that. I was just like, wait, like, this can't be the moment that the wheels start to come off. So good to see that didn't happen. Oh, go ahead.
You look at these two teams. I mean, the biggest pending free agent on Kansas City is Chris Jones. And, I mean, San Francisco has most of their players still there. You forget – I mean, a lot of people forget they lost their starting safety. I can't remember his name. Tua Fungaloa or something like that. And, I mean, no disrespect saying it that way. I don't know how to pronounce it.
That sounded pretty good.
I appreciate it. But, yeah, like, I mean, when you think about it, like, I mean – San Francisco is going to be just as good, if not better. Another year of experience for Purdy. I just feel bad for the kid. He's now made it to two NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. And he's going to be one of the lowest paid players in the entire league. Not just at his position, but the entire freaking league. And he literally cannot even try to negotiate his contract until next offseason.
Mm. And, you know, he did show some heart in that game. I will give him that. And I say that because there is no quarterback in the league who does what they're supposed to do, who takes more scrutiny than him. And, you know, he's earned a lot of praise, and he definitely deservedly so over the last few years. But because of the Mr. Irrelevant and everything, he really only gets looked at that one certain way. And I did pick Kansas City to win, so I'm not going to stand here and act like, you know, sad for the guy or anything like that. But that's the one thing. If he was able to take that away, you know, they can't take that away from him no matter what they say. So now, you know, everything you just said, can't negotiate a new contract until next season. And that's the way he's looked at.
Yeah.
You know,
it just, it sucks for him. I mean, it's great for San Francisco, and, you know, if they're worrying about the salary cap and putting talent around them, but yeah, I mean, the kid's getting underpaid. There's no question about it. He is without a doubt underpaid.
No. So I think with that, I mean, we'll throw this in just because we talk about it. What did you think of the halftime show? Because I wasn't that impressed.
Honestly, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm an Usher fan in general, so it makes it a lot easier for me to enjoy it. But yeah, I was singing and, you know, enjoying myself. I'll admit I did not get up and dance though, so I controlled myself. I've considered it, but I thought Amanda may not come home with me, so I chose not to do so. But
sounds like the right decision.
Yeah, like to think about all the people that were in it. I mean, Alicia Keys, Little John, Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri, Will I Am, her, H-E-R. I don't know what she goes by.
Yeah, I had no idea who that was. I had to look up who that was, and I was like, oh, okay, her.
Yeah.
Convenient.
I don't know who it was, but she crushed that guitar.
Yeah.
And Jermaine Dupri looked like a wannabe CeeLo, and Will I Am looked ready to go to space. But, I mean, overall, I enjoyed it, man. I thought it was fun. It definitely was nostalgic for me, that's for sure.
Okay. All right. I've always thought Usher was okay. I just never really thought he was that great. Like, I remember when he first came up and everything. Like, I think I had his first CD, actually. So, I don't hate Usher. And I thought it was cool to see Alicia Keys come out. I do like Alicia Keys. But, yeah, and I think Yeah is a good song. I wasn't dancing either.
Yeah, no, I was singing along and enjoying myself. That's for sure.
Well, that's good. That's all that matters. So, the commercials and everything that came out of the Super Bowl, I don't know if you had anything else to bring up about the actual game. So we can, it's up to you. Up to you. I don't know if you had anything else.
I mean, I think my favorite, just for the one I was waiting for the most, was getting the little teaser for the Deadpool trailer.
I've seen that 3 times already. I did like that.
Yeah, I only watched the trailer once. I haven't watched it again since. But yeah, no, I thought the Deadpool trailer, or a little teaser, I should say, was good. What was some of the other commercials?
There were some weird ones.
Yeah,
there
was definitely some weird ones. Yeah, that like a man. Yeah, the foot commercial. Or like Jesus washed people's feet, so we should too, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, really. Yeah, I don't like the apparently a lot. The church is spending a lot of money on commercials during the Super Bowl because there was like 3 of those.
Oh yeah, there was numerous ones.
Yeah,
there was numerous ones.
Yeah, that was a little strange, but I'd say the one commercial that I guess. I guess was the most popular was whatever the Dunkin' Donuts commercial with Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, Tom Brady, and Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, that was about as dumb as they came.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the only parts of that, or the only part of that commercial I liked, was Matt Damon, him just being like, don't do this. Don't make us do this. The BetMGM one where they're like, everybody but Tom Brady, that was pretty good.
I don't think I saw that one. That sounds funny. Was Jimmy Kimmel involved in that?
Yeah, that was one of the early ones. That was Vince Vaughn, Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I don't think I caught that one. I was trying to watch the game on Paramount Plus, and the thing kept crapping out on me every 30 seconds. Fucking sucked. The only other like movie trailer I remember was the one for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I don't know why they're making a fourth one of those, but I don't know if you've seen the reboot series they did over the last like 15 years. That was I did enjoy that. That was really good.
Yeah, I saw I think I saw all of them. I can't remember. But I saw a trailer. I'm like, that's something I'll watch, but I'm not going to go to the theaters for it.
Yeah, I can hear you on that. I'm trying to think. I guess we could talk about the Deadpool trailer because that, yeah, no, to me, that was the highlight of the Super Bowl in terms of the commercials and trailers there. To see that was really cool. I'm interested to see how they're going to do the time travel stuff. The fact that they brought the TVA into that, keeping that thread from Loki going, I like that. And I am so excited to see how they're going to incorporate him and the rest of the multiverse stuff into like the mainstream and MCU.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm definitely curious to see how they're going to do it. But I also think it's going to be one of those things, too, where you really can end up in a like a lot of people are hoping this kind of saves their whole little multiverse thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some, you know, cool little things where they talk about like, you know, they loop it, bring in the Watcher and he like messes with the Watcher and like acts like he's also the Watcher. And I mean, I think Marvel, the one thing I'm curious to see, I mean, they didn't show it in the trailer, but I'm very curious to see like, does, you know, maybe Deadpool's the one that creates the new villain, whoever's going to replace
Kang.
I mean, I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but that'd be pretty cool if they did.
You said he creates the guy who becomes the big bad.
Yeah, like maybe this movie is where we find out who's going to replace Kang.
Well, it would be good. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't think they should do a big bad right away. I think they should wait a year or two until they're back on solid footing. And then if you want to go back into it, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like I said, it's just one of those things where, you know, like, I genuinely don't know what they're gonna do, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
but I could see them do well.
And I to play off your idea a little bit, I could see them doing something where he winds up creating a big bad just from being a doofus and like screwing with him in some way, and then all of a sudden at the end you realize like, oh, okay. Now it's going to come back to bite him. All right. I could kind of see it. Yeah.
I mean, you never know. I mean, who knows? The Marvels is now on Disney Plus, so I'll finally get a chance to watch that at some point.
I think I said this at the time. That's not a terrible movie. It's not great movie. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember you telling me that after you watched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, it's fine. And you liked Ms. Marvel, so you're going to like this because she's really good in it. So.
I like the girl that played Kamala. So, I mean.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Ms. Marvel. Kamala Khan.
Mm. Yep. Okay, my bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think you're gonna get some enjoyment out of that movie. I gotta go back and see a whole bunch of the DC movies though. I know I've fallen out of that one. I honestly don't know if you're the same way, but like I still haven't gotten back like movie watching wise. I am nowhere what I was before the pandemic on that. It's crazy.
You've seen me, man. I come and go. Sometimes I'm all over them and I'm back to back. And other times I'm just like, yeah, no, I, you know, it's been out for 6 months. So I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find myself going back and rewatching stuff. I think I told you that. Yeah, I went back and rewatched. I went back and rewatched some Wire episodes this past week. And honestly, it was cool. It was good. Liked it. Anyway, I don't know if you had anything else Super Bowl commercial wise bring up. Otherwise, I'm gonna move on to the NFL honors from Thursday.
Yeah, no, I got nothing else.
All right, cool. So yeah, they had the NFL honors on Thursday, and I'm pulling it up here. Mar Jackson wins MVP. Offensive Player of the Year was Christian McCaffrey of the Niners. Myles Garrett from the Browns wins Defensive Player of the Year. C.J. Stroud, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Will Anderson, his teammate, wins Defensive Rookie of the Year. Stefanski from the Browns wins Coach of the Year. I know we had kind of talked at one point. We had mentioned D'Amico Ryans. I that's the guy I would have gone with personally, and I think you agree with me on that one. But I mean, you know, Cleveland had a good season this year too, and I think they started like four quarterbacks, including Joe Flacco, who was named Comeback Player of the Year. Didn't even sign with them until more than midway through the season. So start with these. What were your overall impressions of the award winners?
I mean, no disrespect to Joe Flacco, but I would have went to Mar Hamlin as Comeback Player of the Year. I know the guy barely played, but he literally almost died on a field last year and was back and played this year. Joe Flacco was not wanted by any team in the entire league, and it took three quarterbacks getting injured in Cleveland for Cleveland to give him a chance. You are not a comeback player. You're just a guy that the team ran out of options and they settled for you. So Comeback Player of the Year has always gone to a guy that suffered a horrific injury or something crazy happened where they couldn't finish their season and they came back strong and made an impact for their team. Like Joe Flacco just wasn't wanted. So I personally don't, I didn't agree with that, but the man did just do, he did deserve acknowledgement for how well he played. So, you know, I think your acknowledgement of him playing so well is when you gave Stefanski head coach of the year.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want to ask you something before you move on, because I agree with everything you just said about the case for DeMar Hamlin for Joe Flacco. Maybe it's just me. I feel the NFL handled DeMar Hamlin's return horribly, because I didn't even realize he was suiting up and in uniform to the third game of Buffalo season. You consider that it was basically a national tragedy that happened beginning of last year. And for him to come back, that should have been posted opening weekend. Just about every other shot should have been DeMar Hamlin is back in uniform to me. I didn't even realize he was playing until the playoff game where they did the fake punt thing to him. I didn't even realize he was playing in games.
Yeah, that's because the first game of his year was Aaron Rodgers' debut with the Green Bay Packers. So that's all anybody ever talk about.
I'm going to put some of that on ESPN, though, too. You would think there would be some mention about that.
Oh, yeah, that's on ESPN, the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
Just wanted to bring that up. I thought everything about his return was handled poorly on that one. It's just okay, everybody cared that this dude almost died on the field, and you just let this completely go under the radar. I don't know if that helps or hurts his case, but.
Well, I mean, considering the fact that Flacco didn't even suit up till week 10.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree.
But. I mean, you got Stefanski winning Coach of the Year, which, again, I think is pretty fair. I did want to lean more D'Amico Ryans, mainly because he beat Stefanski in the playoffs. but when you look at it, I mean, dude, they lost Nick Chubb, their best offensive player, in like week two, week three. They went through four different quarterbacks. They had defensive injuries. Like, I mean, overall, like, I mean, Amari Cooper didn't play all 17 games. Like, so, I mean, the guy deserved it. I just thought D'Amico Ryan deserved a little more because he beat Stefanski in the playoffs. Fair. That he's really the only difference maker.
Yeah. And then the other ones, not to me, wasn't really a surprise. C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson winning for Houston, the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Myles Garrett, defensive player of the game of the year. Maybe you know more about this. Did T.J. Watt do something stupid on social media after this? Because I seem to remember hearing something about that.
He just basically came out and said that he couldn't believe he didn't win it.
That's what it was.
I mean, Micah Parsons came out and said he would take himself over Garrett or Watt, but would take Garrett over Watt. And I agree. But I think Deron Bland should have won it. I mean, he broke a 70-year record. I mean, he had basically identical stats to what Stephon Gilmore had in 2019 when he won Defense Player of the Year. I mean, to me, Bland should have had it. Maybe that's just biased opinion because he's on the Cowboys. But, I mean, six interceptions. I mean, the guy had more interceptions for touchdowns than some teams' receiving cores combined had receiving touchdowns on the year. Like, that's ludicrous. Like, that's insane to me. So, I mean, to do what he did and not get it, I mean, and I argued with my buddy who's a diehard Steelers fan, and he thinks Watt should have got it. I'm like, I'll take Micah Parsons over T.J. Watt right now. So he's like, oh, well, look at the stats. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. When I watch a game, Micah Parsons is constantly there. When I watch a game, T.J. Watt's not constantly there.
Yeah, T.J. Watt is the second Watt brother. No, you're not taking him over Micah Parsons. I probably would take Myles Garrett over T.J. Watt if I'm being honest here. You just look at the way both those defenses played throughout the season. I would take Garrett over T.J. Watt on that one. Like, how many times have we mentioned the Pittsburgh's defense? We talked about Pittsburgh's defense being I think it was Amanda who had him for fantasy or whatever. They're a defense that is okay, but the second you think about dropping them and taking them out of the lineup, that's the only time they're showing up.
Yeah, when they've let you down 2-3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'd take Garrett over Watt on that one, but I'd definitely take Parsons over both of them. Your point about Deron Blanche, I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I think you got a real argument there. I think you have – I think you also have an argument for offensive player of the year. I think you have an off. I mean, I think C-Mac deserved it, but I think you have some arguments you could have there. How Dak Prescott didn't win the air player of the year. The NFL literally put out four surveys on Twitter, with each survey being active for, I believe, 3 days. All four surveys, Dak Prescott won. And the NFL took down the first one, put it back out there, Prescott won again. So they took that one down, put it out again, Prescott won. They took that one down, put it out again, Prescott won. When it came down to the voting and what ended up happening, Prescott doesn't win. I mean, he led the league in passing yards. He led the league in passing touchdowns, touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, I don't really know what else you want the guy to do to be the top passer in the league.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you on that one either. That's funny, though. I didn't even know that about the three surveys, though, or the four different surveys.
Yep. All four he won, and they still were decided, yeah, nah, we can't give this award to him. We're going to give it to Brock Purdy. Like, okay. So, but yeah, I mean, MVP, I think Lamar Jackson deserved it. I don't think he deserved as many votes as he got. I believe out of the 50 votes, he got 49, and Prescott got one. I definitely know. When you look at what they did, the only thing that he had over Prescott was his performances against playoff teams. But when you look at the stats top to bottom throughout the year, they both played almost the same amount of minutes, and outside of rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, he didn't come close to Dak Prescott as a quarterback.
Definitely not as a passer. I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah. I don't really have too many other thoughts on these awards here. I think you said it perfectly on that. I want to bring up the Hall of Famers real quick. So Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, and Patrick Willis all get in. No Antonio Gates. And then the senior nominees, I want to bring this up real quick. Steve Mongo McMichael gets in. I know that probably doesn't mean much for to you. He was on the Bears teams and everything. He also wrestled for WCW in the late 90s, and he's been suffering from ALS the last couple of years. I thought it was pretty cool that they gave it to him. I know it probably, I don't know in terms of, like, does it lessen the overall, like, does he deserve, you know, all that stuff. I just thought it was cool that he's getting that, though. So I did like that. Well, what were your thoughts on the Hall of Fame?
I don't know how Darren Woodson doesn't get in, and yet a return specialist gets in on his first chance.
Yeah, that part's pretty crazy. That
actually bothered me. I could not believe it. Darren Woodson was one of the first hybrid safeties to ever play in the game. He could play man coverage. He could play zone. He could defend the run. 12-year career, multiple Pro Bowls, couple All Pros, and just literally no love at all. I cannot believe that he didn't get in this year. Other than that, I really don't have a problem. I think every guy that got in was bound to get in. I don't know how a return specialist gets in on his first ballot. I think Patrick Willis is another guy who, when he played, was the best linebacker in the league, up there with the, you know, Brian Urlachers. He played with Urlacher. He played while Ray Lewis was in the league. But those guys gave you 10, 11, 13 years, and he gave you 8. So, he definitely a Hall of Famer in my eyes. I don't know how 8 years gets you in on a first ballot. No Super Bowl rings. I don't know. You got to judge, some of these things to me. To me, the people that vote on these things should have to explain their vote. That's how I'll say it. They should have to, each vote that they do, they should have to write why they're voting for them and not voting for somebody else that is deserving.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. Yeah, I mean, other than that, Dwight Freeney was a difference maker, does have a Super Bowl ring, played in 2 Super Bowls total. Or, yeah, 2 Super Bowls with Peyton Manning, 1 they lost, and then the 1 that they won. Antonio Gates is another guy. I don't know how he didn't get in on his first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, arguably one of the greatest tight ends, if not the greatest tight end to step on a field. So, yeah, there's some questionable, you know. I think it's easier to knock them on the guys that didn't get in it, the guys that didn't get in, than it is to knock the guys that did get in, because it's not like they're not deserving. But again, Devin Hester, only guy to ever take the opening kickoff of a Super Bowl for a touchdown. And it's like, yeah, but his team lost the game. And besides that play, he basically had no impact on the game.
No, very true.
That's the one that, again, do I think he deserves to be in there? Yes. But do I think he deserves to be in on a first ballot? No freaking way.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, another guy, like, I was very surprised to see him get in, and I think this was his first time on the ballot, too. Andre Johnson. I think we talked about it either last week or the week before. Like, I like Andre Johnson. I don't know if I'd put him in over an Antonio Gates or a Darren Woodson.
I wouldn't.
No.
Again, I think he's deserving to be in there. I just don't think he's a first ballot.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm looking at this right now. He played 14 years, which I'm surprised he played that long. Half of those 1,000-yard seasons. That I can believe, because I think injuries hurt him later on in the career. I don't know. Antonio Gates kind of revolutionized, like what you were talking about, revolutionizing the safety position. Gates did that with tight end. You look at like the Gronks, the Travis Kelce's, anyone who's come after him has kind of been in that mold. You know, he built like a freaking tight end and built like a basketball player. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Tall, fast, strong.
Yes.
The combination of everything you want. I mean, yeah, he was arguably the first one that really had all of that in a single package.
Mm-hmm. No. So, yeah, that was the most surprising thing to me, seeing him get left off there. Though I totally agree with you on Darren Woodson. I loved Darren Woodson as a kid. He was the best. So the fact that he's still not in, that sucks. But.
Yeah, no. And for the people that know us, they're like, oh, you're a Cowboy fan, you're being biased. But there's a lot of NFL fans out there that would completely agree with the fact that it is absurd that he has not made it into the Hall of Fame yet. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I do not look at that as being a homer type thing, but, another Cowboy fan, so take that for what it's worth. But no, he was one of the top two or three safeties of his day. And you look at some of the other guys he played around. Rod Woodson is in the Hall of Fame. I think he played around the same time as Ronnie Lott. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Ronnie Lott's career was coming to an end when he got in the league, but they still played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's three. Like, I mean, Super Bowl champ. Like, I don't know what else the man could do to be a Hall of Famer, and they're just like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he rubbed some sports writers wrong, or
he was good analyst too. He was good in the studio shows, from what I remember. They didn't use him enough, though.
I forgot he did. He did broadcasting for a while.
Yeah, I think he was ESPN for a minute.
Yeah, he probably said "fuck you guys" after it was like. Second or third time not being able to get in the damn Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. With that, did you have anything else football-wise you wanted to bring up tonight?
I saw it before. 7 months, 6 days, 6 hours, 40 minutes, and like 20 seconds until the new season's here. So, in case
go ahead.
But in case anybody's keeping track.
Mm-hmm. All the tweets I saw after the game saying it is now time for baseball or whatever it is, my heart got a little warm seeing that one. I was happy about those. But yes, it does suck that no more football for 7 months.
And that, good sir, is where we differ. I saw that and I'm like, yippee! Very sarcastically.
Understandable. I mean, I'm just starting a baseball season like I do every year. Just please don't let the Mets suck. Anyway, we can go to basketball a little bit here. I know the trading deadline, I believe, was this past Wednesday. And I know the Knicks made a trade. They got Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks, from the Detroit Pistons. And it was actually a pretty decent deal for them. They only gave up 2 second-round picks, so they haven't given up a first-round pick. And I know they gave up Evan Fournier's contract. Quentin Grimes went in that. one of the guys they got from Toronto last month went in a deal, and someone else that they didn't really use. So it was a good deal for them. That was the only trade from the deadline that has really stuck with me. I don't know if anything else stood out to you from the trade deadline.
I'm looking for, I can't remember. There was one. Oh, Pat Beverly to the Bucks. I thought that was interesting. Helped them on their defensive side of the ball.
I like Pat Bev. Pat Bev is good shit. So,
Spencer Dinwiddie went to the Raptors for Dennis Schroeder, and Thaddeus Young went to the Nets. PJ Washington went to the Mavericks, while the Hornets got Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a first round pick. Your Knicks trade definitely was probably one of the biggest ones when it came down to swinging the pendulum a little bit. Gordon Hayward to Oklahoma City, I thought was interesting just because it's such a young team. You know, kind of giving them that chance to be competitive. The Sixers adding Buddy Hield was a pretty big trade in the scheme of, you know, your Eastern Conference supremacy. And, you know, I honestly think part of the reason the Sixers made that trade was because of the Knicks making theirs and trying to, you know, keep swinging. I would say those are probably the biggest ones that really stuck out to me. I think that trade for the Sixers and that trade for the Knicks are one of your kind of biggest two that could potentially impact the playoffs as we get closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm seeing here, because you brought up the Nets deal. They got Dinwiddie to Toronto, and they got Thaddeus Young back. Thaddeus Young, I guess they bought him out because the Suns look to be finalizing a deal with him right now. Even though, like, I like Thaddeus Young and everything, I feel like he's 5 or 6 years past his prime at this point. So not really going to have too much of an impact.
No, but, you know, help your young guys, maybe give a few minutes off the bench. You never know what the NBA vet, man, if they let him rest early in the year, make a hell of an impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree. And then I know I had seen this last night. I guess the Knicks are filing a protest after they lost the game last second. Jalen Brunson got called for a foul that gave the Rockets free throws. They hit the free throws. They won the game by 2 points. So the Knicks are filing a protest. And apparently the refs told them that they made the incorrect call. So I know these things usually go nowhere, but I can't really think of too many of them where they have the ref saying we made the wrong call. You think that changes anything?
Honestly, no. I do not. I think the league ends up not changing anything because, look, you don't foul him and he doesn't make the two free throws. It's still a tie game. So what are you going to do? Have him connect and play, you know, 20 seconds of a basketball game with no energy or momentum involved with it? It's just, you know, basically first team to score a basket wins.
Yeah. Now, I do agree, and I'm looking at the ESPN article here. It's saying a protest must prove a misapplication of a rule, not simply a missed call. So, yeah, that's not getting overturned. It was a bad call, though. I will say that.
Yeah, I didn't even see it, but I mean, when the refs themselves come out and look at the team, they're like, "Yeah, no, we blew that one." At least gives you a stand on.
True. All right, so I say with that, did you have anything else basketball wise for us tonight?
Once again, the Bulls don't make a move at all, whether to try and tear it apart or keep it together, so basketball purgatory we remain.
Well, I obviously this can change. Right now you guys are holding firm in that ninth spot, so you'd be in the playing games for the postseason, so you got that, but yeah, sorry there. All right. I want to bring one thing up, switching to pop culture real quick, because I will say this. If he was with us last week, Eric Strasser would have called my ass out for going off the air without mentioning the death of Carl Weathers, and he would have been 100% right. So I want to make sure we brought up the passing of Carl Weathers, because obviously a big Rocky fan, always loved those movies. Carl Weathers is great in anything he was in, whether it was the Rocky movies, Predator, Happy Gilmore, Arrested Development later on. It's just fantastic. It sucks that he's no longer with us. I thought Stallone's tribute to him was really good. It was cool to see everybody come out and support and everything. Any thoughts on that, Dave?
I mean, honestly, the weirdest part was the day he passed away. I happened to be watching Rocky, I believe it's 5, where we lose the one and only Apollo Creed.
4.
4, all right. And needless to say, I then went to Twitter shortly after the scene that he passes away in and find out that he is dead. And I was just like, okay, well, that's unbelievably weird. And it just completely shocked the shit out of me and made me, I just felt horrible. And I mean, considering how much I enjoyed watching him in Apollo Creed and in Predator and Happy Gilmore, I mean, just sucks, man. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, we are a week late on that one, but I still wanted to bring it up there. And he was also really good in The Mandalorian too. He was only like a side character. He didn't come on every episode, so they're probably going to wind up writing him out, but it just sucks. Anyway, I don't really have anything pop culture wise other than the trailers that came out. I don't know if you had anything you wanted to bring up.
No, can't say I do. I mean, that most of the pop culture things that have happened during the Super Bowl. So
yeah. Now, well said. Well said. I will say this. I'm getting tired of hearing about all the Taylor Swift nonsense. I saw statistics. They showed her for a total of 57 seconds throughout the Super Bowl. Dude, if she's going to be at the games, just fucking deal with it. Anybody who's got a problem with it, I don't care. I don't care one way or another. I don't care about Taylor Swift. So I just hope next season they figure out a way to contain that.
I mean, the only way it's a big deal are for the people that make it a big deal. Mm-hmm. I barely, you know, when they cut to her, you barely even noticed it. And she was on TV for less than 1% of the game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and if they cut to her, it was after a play. It wasn't like they cut to her in the middle of a play and they were like, hey, let's look at Taylor Swift while, you know, Brock Purdy drops back to pass and we'll just put him in a little corner of the screen.
Well said. Well said. So,
yeah, no, anybody overreacting to that, they're just looking for something to complain about.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just very happy. I feel like that's maybe the only time we've brought up the whole Taylor Swift shit this whole season. Maybe we brought it up once or twice. I'm just happy we didn't bring it up more. So that's fantastic. Anyway, I think with that, did you have anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
No, I can't say I do, my friend.
Cool. So I think with that, we will get out of here for tonight. I will say we will be going on hiatus. This will be the last episode we do for This Is Sports Zone for a while here. Thank you to everybody who's been a part of it over the years. Eric Fife, going back to Dave Tice, Mike Macri, all those guys. And Dave, you've been...
I can't forget Joey D. He was the original founding member with me.
Joe was the original with you. Yes, that's correct. I do apologize, but I do want to thank you for being with me through this the whole time.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Never regretted a show.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, it will be different. Definitely. Do you want to give a plug to what you're doing now, though?
So I'll be doing Die on This Hill podcast on Wednesday nights, I believe. That might switch, depending. Apparently, Joey D may occasionally join us, and he can only do Tuesdays and Thursdays. But that's a long shot either way. So, I mean, I hope he does, but I don't expect it to happen. Yeah, so be on there. I don't know if it'll be a weekly thing for me, but I mean, especially once it's just baseball season, I don't have much to contribute. So, yeah, we'll see. But Die on This Hill podcast, rate, as Mike would so eloquently put it, rate, like, subscribe, do all the things. Mike, I actually told Eric we might have to have you just come on and do that one time if that's all you got in you, just so Eric can record it, because he actually has like a full like little studio set thing he put together, so he could actually record it and just hit a button and play it every time. I told him on the last one that we did, I'm like, I don't care how we end the show, there's no better ending than how Mike ends the show. So that is recorded and on air, my friend. So if you ever want to go check the records, you can see how I truly said it. But I'll miss that just as much as anything. And yeah, who knows what the future holds, man? It's not goodbye. It's see you later.
I love that. That's my favorite. I was just thinking that the other day. I am so happy you said that. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. So I think with that, though, for the last time, at least for now, we'll get out of here for tonight. Even though you kind of stole the thunder, like, I'm going to do it anyway, but it's like you already did it. So it's like,
can't do it as good as you. I just can't. Your lack of enthusiasm is enthusiastic. I can't match that lack of energy, yet ability to create energy all in one simultaneous moment. So my friend, you must do it. There is no debating or considerment. It must be done.
Fair enough. How do I turn that down? So yeah, okay, we'll do this. But for the last time, thank you everybody for listening to us on all the podcasting outlets: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn. Rate, like, share, subscribe, do all the things, and we'll get out of here for tonight. Dave Hastings, final thoughts.
Hey, as always, my friend, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you once again, Dave, for being here with me, doing this with me this whole time. I really appreciate it, man. So thank you.
It's been a joy, my friend. I mean, the amount of years have flown by.
Yeah, they really have. They really have. But I think with that, thank you everybody for listening. I once again am Mike Aglialoro. We'll see you all next time.